This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A jury's decision could reshape the business software landscape.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Software maker SAP will have to pay its arch rival, Oracle Corporation, $1.3 billion for stealing corporate secrets. A jury found that an SAP subsidiary had illegally downloaded millions of Oracle's files off the internet. Marketplace's John Dimsdale joins us now live with more on what this means for the software industry. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So this is one of the largest jury verdicts in history. Let me ask you first, what does it mean for Oracle?
Yeah, it's really much larger than expected. SAP had admitted the guilt here, and they offered to pay over $100 million to settle the case. But in the trial, Oracle dramatically claimed over $1.5 billion in damages. They called many SAP executives to testify, and in the eyes of some analysts, tried to humiliate SAP as much as possible.
And as we said, this is a $1.3 billion verdict. How does it change the business software industry?
Well, that's about half of SAP's yearly profits. So while it's definitely a blow to the bottom line, David Mitchell, who's the senior IT researcher for Ovum in London, says SAP will recover.
It could damage their ability to undertake large-scale acquisitions in the future. But SAP is still fundamentally a very competitive company. And although this will smart, I think it's unlikely to alter the strategic path of SAP in the long term.
Now, Mitchell also says this is a slap at another of Oracle's competitors. HP had hired SAP's former CEO. So the verdict is seen as a repudiation of both HP and SAP in favor of Oracle. In any event, there will be an appeal.
Okay, Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington. Later this morning, John Deere reports quarterly earnings. The company, which is the largest maker of farm equipment in the world, has been thriving this year. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith takes a look at why.
2010 has been a very good year for farmers and a very good year for makers of farm equipment. Sales are up about 25% from a year ago. Commodities analyst Dan Monternock says farmers are springing for new tractors because they're getting more money for their crops.
That is truly a perfect storm where you've got rising inflationary fears plus a good old-fashioned squeeze on supply and demand.
The supply and demand part is coming from China and India, which are getting wealthier and importing more food. The inflation part is coming from investors, who are worried about the dollar losing value. Normally, they'd buy gold, but Monternock says gold has gotten so expensive, those investors are moving to other commodities like food.
Right now, wheat is a better buy than gold, just as a store of value, because governments can't print more wheat either. They can't print more corn.
Investors may be hurt if food prices reverse, but makers of farm equipment could be safe as long as the global demand for food keeps growing. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
And let's check global stock markets. European markets are up right now. In London, the FTSE is up about 0.5%. Markets in Frankfurt and Paris are also up about 0.5%. We'll get a whole slew of economic indicators today, from weekly jobless claims to consumer confidence. Some numbers are coming in early because of the holiday weekend. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 132 points to close at 11,036.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com.
So, you know when you go to an ATM that's not owned by your bank, you have to pay a fee, and then you have to pay another fee to your bank for the privilege? Well, LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus has been giving this whole system a lot of thought, and he joins us now. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So what gives?
What gives is the banks are basically double dipping. They're charging you an average $3 when you take your card out of network, but then your home bank will also hit you with a roughly $2 charge, which they call a convenience fee. B of A charges $2, Chase charges $2, Wells Fargo charges $2.50.
David, how long has this been going on?
Well, it's more of a recent phenomenon, to be honest. When the banks first rolled out ATMs in the 1970s, there was no charge whatsoever for going out of network. They wanted people to feel comfortable with this technology because, of course, it saves the banks oodles of cash. It wasn't until about 2003 or so that we started seeing an average $2 charge being introduced. Now it's $3 charges, and some banks are charging $4.
$4. And let me ask you this question, which I'm sure the answer will be difficult to hear. What does it actually cost them to have me go to a bank that's not in my network?
Bupkis, my friend. You talk to consumer advocates and they say it maybe costs a penny or two to process these transactions because the economies of scale are so huge, millions of transactions every day. So as with processing debit card transactions or credit card transactions, there are so many ATM withdrawals that it really only costs maybe a penny. All the rest is pure gravy.
Now, David, Congress passed that big credit card act back in February that was supposed to crack down on fees. Did it do anything about this situation?
No, not with the ATMs, because the banks can argue correctly that you're not forced to pay these fees. All you've got to do is stay in network with your home bank and you can skirt these fees. Well, that's true. On the other hand, at $5 or so to get your money, that's price gouging, pure and simple. So since the Federal Reserve has cracked down on debit card transaction fees, requiring that they now be reasonable and proportional to the bank's costs, I wonder why the same thinking can't apply to ATM withdrawals.
Well, I guess we'll have to keep wondering. And by the way, you will be on Marketplace Money this weekend answering listener questions. But thanks so much for joining us here on The Morning Report.
Thank you.
And finally, Facebook is about to get the official trademark on the word face. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has given Facebook the tentative go-ahead when it comes to telecommunications services. So I'd recommend not naming your new website Face Connection or anything like that. We've got no word on what this means for CBS's political talk show Face the Nation, which, by the way, is twice as old as Facebook's founder. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Jeremy Hobson. I'm not sure if Twitter has the trademark on the word twit, but who knows. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
On our series Economy 4.0, we've been looking at alternative ways of measuring success. Here's another one.
There's two lawyers in the next house. I think they're both lawyers. Lawyer across the street. Can swing a dead cat and find a lawyer in this neighborhood.
I'm Tess Viglin, but you know what? Not all neighborhoods are created equal. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.